Our sermon text for this evening takes focus on one verse in that scripture reading we just heard from Isaiah chapter 7 as we turn to the prophecy in verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is God's word. Let us pray. O Lord, visit us with your signs and wonders through your holy word, that we would believe now and forever in our Emmanuel. Amen. God's peace and goodwill to you all this evening in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What will become of this child? Most of us are familiar with the birth of a baby, whether it's a son or a daughter, a brother or sister, a grandchild. We know what it's like to see a baby born into the world and how exciting it is. That little child, so vulnerable, so little, so helpless, and yet so full of wonder, so full of opportunity. We wonder, what will he or she grow up to be? What kind of personality will this child have? Each child is unique, and in families where there's several children, you know there are no two that are exactly alike. So what unique personality will this child have? And we wonder, what child is this? The title comes from a familiar hymn in the worship supplement. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? It's a question that hangs in the air. It hangs in the air this Christmas. It hangs in the air for years and for centuries before Jesus ever came. For the life of the world, this question was hanging in the air. What child would this be? It hung in the air until that moment where the angels greeted us on a field in Bethlehem and gave us the answer. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. This Advent season, we're going to dig a little deeper into that question that's hanging in the air. We travel back in time to the time of the prophet Isaiah. We find a people estranged, forsaken, lost, a land of darkness. We find God has left his people alone. They've forsaken his way, and now their way is forsaken. The people are waiting for something, for a kingdom that will bring a real king, because the kings they've known have only been corrupt, again and again proving themselves to fail. And we see Christmas now through the eyes of Isaiah. What will he become? What new things will this child learn and discover? And what will make him unique? Unlike any other children that have ever been born or any other kings that have ever ruled. What child is this? We begin today in chapter 7 of Isaiah. The year is 735 BC, so we are 7 centuries before Jesus was born. The king of Judah is Ahaz, and the prophet who meets him at the upper pool in Jerusalem is Isaiah. Ask a sign. Ask a sign. Whether it's in the heights of heaven or in the depths of the grave, you can ask anything, and God will give it to you. All you have to do is ask. What would Ahaz do? Would he commit himself and the future of his kingdom totally into the Lord's hands for all his hope and all his marvels? Or would he find other sources of safety and security and refuge that weren't in the Lord? This is the question when the prophet brings the command, ask a sign. It was a desperate time. The enemies were knocking at the door on all sides of Jerusalem, of Judea. The enemies were knocking at the door. A fierce army was being assembled to the north in a land called Assyria. The history books show how ruthless the king of Assyria was by the way that he pillaged and overtook nations. And now he had his eyes set on Egypt. So if you could imagine a map, you have Judah, where King Ahaz is ruling. And then to the north, the far north, you have Assyria. And Assyria is trying to make it to Egypt, which is in the far south. So, for him to do that, where does he need to go? He needs to go through Syria, Israel, and Judah to get what he wants. This is the threat that's starting to press in on King Ahaz. Already, Syria and Israel are the two countries mentioned here that have formed an alliance. And they are trying to withstand the Assyrians, but they're also threatening Judah. So you have forces coming down and a question of what the Lord will do. Isaiah meets King Ahaz at the upper pool, where he says, "Do not be afraid. The Lord will be with you. The Lord will protect you. Only ask a sign and believe." But Ahaz wouldn't ask a sign. He made up some excuse that he didn't want to test the Lord. But the Lord was offering him a free promise, an answer to all your problems. All you have to do is ask. But he would not ask. And this would be the downfall of his kingdom. And this would be the downfall of the promise of David and the royal dynasty that had been promised to Ahaz's descendants. 2 Kings describes how King Ahaz responded. He decided rather than taking it to the Lord in prayer, he would take it into his own hands. And he tried to do a little political maneuvering. So he tried to set up an alliance with the king of Assyria to the far north. He thought if he cut a deal with him, things would be okay. So he traveled up there. He offered him silver and gold. He even said, "I will be your servant and your son." He offered himself to another king, God's own chosen anointed one. And this would be the downfall of Judah. Enemies were knocking at the door. Where do we find refuge? The point is, when enemies come knocking at your door, don't open it. Don't cut a deal with the devil. It might not be kings or nations that are pressing upon your life, but there are other enemies. Maybe it's greed. Greed is knocking at the door, trying to make its way in this Christmas season, offering you all kinds of things. If you just let me in, I'll give you something that'll make you happy. I could give you more toys. I could give you a nicer car. I could give you that big screen TV you wanted. And greed is knocking at the door saying, if you'll just let me in, I'll give you something that the Lord could never give you. Or maybe it's desperation. Those moments knocking at the door when times are tough, when our finances are tight, when we have worries on our mind, when things aren't going well with our spouse or our parents. It's knocking at the door saying, let me in. Just cut a few corners on your taxes. Just tell a little lie here and there with your parents or your spouse. It wants to be let in. When the enemies come knocking at the door, we find Ahaz cutting a deal with them. He would not look for a sign. And so Isaiah responds, "Well then, the Lord will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now we might know this from many Christmas services as a wonderful prophecy of hope. And yet at the same time, it was a prophecy of judgment. It was a judgment against King Ahaz for not asking a sign and for finding an alliance with the enemy. It was, in fact, a sign of judgment because it wouldn't take place until after something had happened. It wouldn't take place until after the king of Assyria had come and destroyed the land of Judah, until that royal line of David had been lost into captivity, and there would be no king. For 400 years, there would be no king in Judah. It was a time of judgment. That is, until a child would come. "Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son. He will eat butter and honey," Isaiah says. This is poor man's food. Jesus would be born at a time when the kingdom was desolate, when it had been forsaken, when they had other kings on the throne, when the land was poor and unfruitful, when spiritually they were in poverty. As Isaiah says in chapter 53, "He will grow up before us as a tender sprout out of dry ground." Jesus would come in all lowliness, taking the form of a slave, taking the form of a servant of kings. He would be on trial before kings, subject to our sins. Because Ahaz had failed, because we have failed. He would be born of a human mother, an unmarried woman, a virgin. The word chosen in the Hebrew emphasizes that she was going to be unmarried and never had known a man. And she was at the prime age for being married and starting a family. The lineage of David would be carried on without a human father, meaning God himself would bring the king that all other kings failed to be. God himself would bring a child and would be the child. His name would be a sign not just for judgment, but also for salvation to all who believe. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Born of a virgin is God's own son. He has no sinful father to pass on those sinful genes, to have that sinful flesh that you and I know so well. No, he would be pure. He would be born of a virgin. He would be conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so God visits Joseph. And Matthew records, "Thus was fulfilled the saying by the prophet, Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a child, and you will call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." God himself would be the sign and would fulfill what Ahaz had failed to do. Ahaz is us without God. Jesus is God with us. Ahaz is us without God when we fail to trust in God's promises and look for refuge in ourselves. Jesus is God with us, who trusts in the Father without end for all he ever needed. Ahaz is us without God, forming alliances with sin. Jesus is God with us, waging war against sin. Ahaz is us without God, dying in our sins and doomed to eternity. Jesus is God with us, who redeems us from sin and who gives us everlasting life. Ahaz is us without God, hopelessly lost and doomed to our own self-destruction. Jesus is God with us, finding us, saving us, and bringing us a kingdom that will never end. It is salvation for all who believe. As the hymn writer says, "Nails, spears shall pierce him through, the cross he'll bear for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary." What will become of this child? We've begun to see Christmas through the eyes of Isaiah, a child born of a virgin, so helpless, so vulnerable, and yet so full of wonder, so full of opportunity, a future for him. What would it mean? What would he grow up to be? Would he fulfill all that God had said? And what kind of kingdom is he going to bring? He is our King, clothed in swaddling cloths. So we look forward to next week when we'll see how this King is going to rule, as Isaiah gives another prophecy in chapter 9. How unique he will be. Every child is unique, but this child would be unlike any other. Unlike any other child, any other king. Jesus would do something that only God could do. What child is this? This is Christ, our King, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.